Hello, and thank you for tuning in to another episode of CPA Review and More. We are pleased to bring you the number one podcast for CPAs and CPA candidates. If you'd like to learn more about how Yeager CPA Review can help you, find us on our website at YeagerCPAReview.com. Now, here's your host, Phil Yeager.
Hello, everyone. This is Phil Yeager, and welcome to my podcast, CPA Review and More, where we cover subjects dealing with the CPA exam, if you are taking it, or if you're not taking the CPA exam, or you pass the exam, all right, we have what we call other, which means we do other subjects. We've had people on from, you know, bitcoins and, and all types of areas, because students want to know, hey, I graduated college, what am I going to do now with the CPA? Right. So we bring the guests on, and unfortunately, because it is actually pre-recorded, right, people like cannot ask the questions. But if you need to ask questions, we'll tell you how you can send me a question, and we'll get someone to answer that for you. And today, and by the way, we have a guest today, and we have scanned the globe for this guest, believe me. All right. Is that true, Hannah?
Sure. Yeah.
Yeah, just say yes. Hannah, you are my first guest in quite a while. And Hannah, all right, and once again, I don't want to screw up the spelling of your name, all right, or the pronunciation. It's, what's that? How do you say your last name?
Molensky.
Correct. Very good. Okay. Now, Hannah is the founder and CEO of, and you know when you say CEO, you know you're not talking to the person who cleans the place, right? Right? You're a big shot in your company, right?
Well, when you work from home, Phil, I'm pretty sure that you do all the jobs.
No, I have an ivory tower position. I know what you're saying. Like, everything has changed. Who ever thought we'd be sitting here working like this, right?
Right.
But you're with this company. Now, let me get this straight. You're with the company, the Clara CFO Group, right? And Upside Financial Senior Advisor. Now, please describe to me, what is the relationship of the two companies? Are you an employee of both? Are you an independent contractor? And obviously, you're an advisor. And what exactly do you do to help society and mankind? Okay.
Awesome. Well, I love the big question. Yes, my name is Hannah Smolinski. I am a Washington State CPA, and my company, the one that I own, and I am an owner employee of as an S-Corp, is Clara CFO Group. So we help small business owners who need more support than just their bookkeeper or maybe their tax CPA that they talk to once a year. So we help small businesses with a virtual CFO services where we're going on an ongoing basis. Every single month, we're talking to clients and we are helping them look at their financials and use their financial information to make informed strategic decisions going forward. So we really focus on taking the prior information that we get from the bookkeeper and helping them use it to make strategic decisions going forward. Like right now, we're planning for 2021, taking all the information from 2020 and trying to figure out what 2021 is going to look like. And then the role that I have with Upside Financial is a contractor role. So I come in and I am assisting them on their financial product that they have to assist small business owners with PPP forgiveness. So they have a PPP Pro Advisor product, which is kind of a software product combined with a service of actually talking to real people about their PPP loans. And they're helping borrowers package up basically a financial package to go and get forgiveness from their banks for their PPP loans. So I'm advising that product because I've been basically dealing with PPP forgiveness, well, PPP, getting the PPP loans and then PPP forgiveness since, March when it all came out. So I've had a lot of experience directly in
answering. Well, I'm just curious, how did you learn all this stuff?
A lot of reading, really. It kind of all came out right when the CARES Act came out. I mean, honestly, I was in a little bit of a fog, you know, like March came around and out here in Seattle, it was like rainy and gray and horrible. And there was just a lot of everybody was a little depressed because schools were closing and all sorts of things were happening. And then the CARES Act came out and I learned about the PPP portion of the CARES Act. And I realized that it was first come, first serve. And that just made me like kind of jump out of my seat because I have been serving small businesses and I know how many of them do not have access to, first of all, anybody in their corner really fighting for them on when it comes to the financial piece. And then just lack of information, you know, from what the federal government puts out to like getting trickling down all the way to a small business owner happens to hear about it. I mean, you have to be pretty connected to or have somebody who's telling you about this stuff. So I was really concerned about that first come, first serve thing.
Did you have an accounting practice that dealt with small businesses predominantly? Is that what you did?
Yeah. I mean, my Clara CFO group we are small business 100%. We focus on mostly small businesses making less than $5 million in annual revenue. We deal with a lot of people who it might just be the owner and then they might have some employees. But it's pretty progressive for a lot of small business owners to be hiring a virtual CFO. So we know that a lot of people, like if they have a bookkeeper, they're kind of in a good place. You know, that's kind of like a good thing for a lot of small business owners. There's a lot that don't even have that. And then a lot of bookkeepers didn't know about PPP at all either. So a lot of CPAs didn't either. So I just really kind of picked up the charge and was like, I got to tell people about this. And I already had a platform of YouTube. So I kind of started kind of doubling down and basically getting information out via YouTube.
Now, did you find the economy? Now, I obviously wasn't in Seattle there, but what happened to the economy when the virus started? Did it immediately affect the businesses or was it a gradual effect? All right. What happened with the virus as far as affecting Seattle and your clients there?
I have clients all over the country because I can work virtually. So I was working on Zoom before everybody was working on Zoom. But I think I saw different industries get affected differently. We immediately saw, you know, certain, you know, walk-in businesses, brick and mortar type businesses have to shut down. There were some, especially some that were already in a little bit of a financial struggle. If they had a lot of debt, they were over leveraged, or they just, you know, maybe weren't quite figuring out their revenue model to begin with. They almost immediately, most of those just started to shut down. Those were the ones that really were hit hard. And then the kind of the non-essential type businesses, or the ones that even, you know, had to go into people's homes. I had an electrical contractor that I was working with that the employees just didn't want to work because they were scared, you know, and so they'd walked out on the job. And so you can't make revenue if all of your employees just decide to stop working, right?
And that did it pay for them to stop working? Wasn't the unemployment fairly high that they would get?
Yeah.
And the employees not to work.
Right. And that was another thing that we were seeing, not so much, it wasn't happening as much with my clients, but as I was talking to more business owners through comments of just people watching my YouTube videos and making comments, is they were offering jobs or trying to get people to come back to work, but unemployment was at a situation where it was so high, an extra $600 a week, regardless of whether or not you were working part-time or full-time, then it's a lot of money. I mean, it wasn't enough money for some people, but then at the same time, if you were maybe working 5 hours a week somewhere, and then all of a sudden you're able to quit that job and go get paid $600 a week on top of state unemployment, it definitely, it's an attractive offer. So that was definitely part of the struggle of the whole thing.
Has that expired they were talking about $600 or $1,200 a week. Has that expired, that provision of the act?
Yeah, it was $600 additional. It was federal unemployment on top of a state unemployment. Yes, that expired July 31st.
So what are the people doing now? If it expired, you said July 31st or June 30th?
July 31st is when
So that extra unemployment expired. Right. So what were they now? What would you get if you were unemployed? How much would you get? You wouldn't get the big bucks. What would you get?
No, you'd be on your typical state unemployment. So, I mean, that kind of varies. It varies state by state and it varies on based on, you know, how much you had been paid in previous. Like typically unemployment is not meant to really recover your full paycheck, right? It's supposed to be like kind of bare minimum. That's why, you know, when it was layered on top of this, or when the federal was layered on top of state, it was an attractive offer. But now without that federal unemployment, it's definitely not nearly as good for people. So, I mean, I'm definitely concerned about the situation.
Well, aren't they talking now about possibly start giving some money coming out from the Republicans, Democrats? Isn't that, they're in conference now, aren't they? Have they approved anything as of today?
I mean, you know, they've been in quote unquote conference for months and months and months. I mean, I think there's been a lot of back and forth, not a lot of agreement on what everybody can get behind. There was kind of talk of doing another kind of sort of tied over stimulus just to like until we can get the new administration in. It looks like that's been declined. So, I mean, I definitely think we'll probably see some type of second stimulus. It's just probably not going to be until the new administration is in and has time to kind of get some things working.
Sounds to me like this COVID thing in a way was good for you. It really was. It sounds like, you know, if we didn't have this COVID virus, you wouldn't really be doing what you're doing now. Am I correct? Or would you be doing something else?
Yeah, I mean, I think COVID and the CARES Act has helped people realize how important accountants are, how they can be important, and how it's important to have somebody on your side and on your team. For my business in particular, it has been interesting to see, like, you know, I mean, it was really hard to decide to become a PPP expert, which is essentially where I'm at right now. That was by choice and kind of also by, hey, I want to help out small businesses. And the way for me to do this is to try to get as much information out as can and try to stay on top of everything. And I was doing that through YouTube videos. But what happened as a side effect of that is that I got a larger YouTube following. I think I had somewhere around 100 subscribers when I first started, and now I'm close to like 15,000.
You have 15,000 followers.
Yeah, subscribers on YouTube. And that.
Can I ask a question? And how long did it take to get that?
Well, that has been since March. So now, I mean, all of that was really when PPP first came out, there was a lot of just panic and people were trying to find information. And again, banks weren't helping. And a lot of CPAs didn't know what was going on. So it really came down to people saying, okay, well, somebody's got to be like reading this stuff and explaining it in plain language. And that's kind of where I felt like I could help. You know,
were
I
you
could.
One of the few or the only one doing that?
No, I definitely wasn't the only one. There's a couple other CPAs on YouTube that are kind of doing similar things. And there's lots of great blogs. And there's been a couple companies that have done a really good job trying to like help out with, you know, putting out blog content and things like that. But it really wasn't coming from the banks and it was not coming from the SBA. The SBA was putting out these like complicated interim rules and they were putting in FAQs. And then it was really like, well, the common small business owner does not have time for one, and then also doesn't understand always the language of the finance world. So it wasn't that. I mean, these people are incredibly smart. It was just like translating it into like, hey, like this is what it means for you. Like this is what this means for you, because that's not what the SBA's rules are written like, right? So that's what I was doing. I was trying to take, okay, well, this is what the interim rule is saying, and this is what it means for the small business owner. The process would be is that that bank, ABC Bank, absolutely has to help you process your PPP loan to like give it, process it and give it to the SBA. They have to approve it. That was the part of them being able to accept PPP loans and then get them for, I mean, like that was the whole thing. They have to do that, but they are not helpful in advising clients on what to submit and exactly what to do and which documents you need to bring. A lot of these bankers have no clue. They have no clue. So clients are looking to, I mean, borrowers are looking to the bank to give them advice. But the bank is either giving poor advice 90% of the time, or just saying, hey, go talk to your CPA or talk to your accountant, talk to your lawyer. I've heard everything. I've heard talk to your payroll provider. Like they're willing to pass the buck to anybody. So what Upside Financial is doing is they're saying like, hey, we're going to give you the information and all the packet so that when your bank is ready to accept it, whether or not it's like, hey, just fill out this paper form and send us your documents, whether or not the bank looks at it, that's, you know, their deal, but we're going to do it right. So you have all the things, the actual expenses, make sure it's documented exactly what you should be asking for forgiveness for. And then you're going to have your package ready to go because the banks are not helpful. I mean, some are, I've heard a few, but most
of them say really don't know the rules. Is that
they
it?
Don't know. No. And okay. I'm really, even like in applying for forgiveness, they were not even required to know the rules. It was on the borrower to ask for the right amount of money.
Oh, really? I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very good system.
Hence, fraud. Hello.
I don't worry about that word, fraud. Okay. All right. What I want, can I ask, is there going to be a second round of loan coming out?
I think that there probably will be a second stimulus package and the need for small businesses right now. I would be surprised if we don't have another round of PPP. There is still money in the coffers, even for the original amount. Like they didn't even distribute all of the original PPP funds. So my assumption would be if there is a second stimulus, which I really think there's a high likelihood that there will be, that there will add additional funding to a second round of PPP.
Did the government get back the money that was given to companies that didn't need it? Did they get it all back?
No.
What were some of the companies that were given money who didn't need the money?
I don't know all of the names of them. I mean, I think the big ones that came out were like Shake Shack, Ruth Chris,
I think was one.
Yeah, Ruth Chris Steakhouse was one. Shake Shack was the really like crazy one because they went out and got public funding like days after they got their $10 million PPP.
Well, but the question is, they didn't have to give back the money or they just didn't give it back?
They did give it back. Ruth Chris, I think both Ruth Chris and Shake Shack gave it back. And then it was this big, oh, yay, Shake Shack's so amazing because they gave back their money. And I was like, well, yeah, they got $167 million a few days later. So
how did they get that money? Did they ever disclose that?
Oh, how did they get the PPP?
No, how did they get the money considering really they shouldn't have been entitled to it?
I think it was that easy process of application. You know, I mean, they just had to prove out their payroll costs. And that was before they were doing a lot of scrutiny on like who really needed it and who didn't. And that's when they offered the safe harbor. They said like, hey, come back, give us the money back. We're not going to penalize you if you don't really need it. Return it under
sounds
this.
Sounds like monkey business to me. I don't know. What do you think? That's what it sounds like. Your YouTube business was increasing. You know, Mr. Bayer. You have to about 15,000. How many do you have now, YouTube subscribers?
Oh, no, that's 15,000 today. Yeah, so that's from March till today is about 15,000.
And where do you see that going?
Clara CFO Group, I feel like, has an opportunity to have an impact. I think that's really what I see. I see that there's a lot of opportunity to inform and educate small business owners about the financial side of their business. And it's something that I see as kind of like my mission for this business. So I see the YouTube continuing to grow because once PPP is over, I mean, there's so much we can talk about. Like we can talk about, I mean, just the basics of finance, you know, even like still like how to read your P&L. How to work out a cash flow, how to plan for future decisions.
I don't think this PPP is going anyplace soon because this monster or whatever it is, all right, is going to still be around. It's not just going to, this is my opinion, right?
Yeah, we've got lingering effects. We've got, I mean, after your covered period, you have 10 months to apply for forgiveness. And then the loan is still, it's either a 2-year term or a 5-year term if you do have an amount to repay. And then if we have a second round of PPP, that'll extend it out even more. So we're dealing with at least a couple years of people being interested in, you know, what's going on with PPP.
That's great because you're only, what, 17, 18 years old? you're very young. You got your whole life ahead of you. Is that right?
not quite. Add a few tens.
I was going to say something, but I won't. You're young. You're very young. I think you told me you have a family. Is that correct?
Yeah, I have a young daughter. She's in second grade. So we're dealing with the whole homeschooling from, you know, trying to do that on top of working.
That is fun. Are you enjoying that? You think about becoming a teacher?
Let's just say I will be all the more grateful for teachers.
Oh, that could be the name of your new business, all the more grateful. What do you think of that?
I like
it. And then I hear the other teachers, the dogs.
Yeah.
In many respects, I look at this virus as it's, to me, it's helped us to some degree because one, we're doing virtual CPA review business, all right? Which not in a million years, but who knew what the word virtual meant? Mm-hmm. Sort of a new word. But we've got, that's how we've increased sort of CPA review. And also it's helped us from the standpoint that we've learned how to use LinkedIn and the different social medias to actually get more students.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? All right. And we're trying to do that because a lot of our competitors, they're not really doing that correctly. And by the way, I just wanted to mention to the competitors, you're not doing that, all right? And if you think about it, I will have my cousin Bruno from New York come out and visit you. No, I think it serves a good purpose. I really do. The virtual has been great. The only thing we lose is you find we're losing like the personal touch between people. You don't get to, sort of what do you do as far as your clients? Do you talk to them on the phone, the virtual? How do you deal with them? You know, because obviously it's not full virtual.
Yeah, I mean, I do Zoom most of the time. Like I even have some local clients and we would meet via Zoom like before COVID. But I think that there is a little bit of loss of the interpersonal skills for sure. I think as much as video is helpful, it's better than just phone call all the time. Yeah, there's always something to be said for being in person. I find that it's very hard to do like conferences or have like good discussion, in Zoom. And I think we're coming a long way. I think there's really great things about it. I think it's allowing people a flexibility that they never had before, which is fantastic. But overall, it's nice to be able to meet when we can.
Do you love what you're doing now?
I do love what I'm doing right now. You know, I wish I had like a little bit more support, maybe just in different times. But this
you're looking
is
looking for daycare. Is that what you're looking for?
Maybe just school. Yeah. Just school to be back. We could just get regular.
My daughter owes you. You ever had a Goddard franchise?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But your children, your daughter, is it a daughter or son again?
You said daughter. Yeah.
So she's not preschool.
No, she's in second grade. Right.
Well, my daughter, if the price is right, we could add up an addition. I've stayed out of the business with my daughter. Don't be in business with a daughter or relative. It could end up being a real problem. Now my daughter's got a school, has really been hit.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason, but she's held up. She got money from the government. And the thing is, she's dealing with all this. I didn't realize how what a pain it is. State and local agencies. And a lot of these state and local, they change by the day, week, or month. Mm-hmm. Right? And I remember when this first happened, it really tore her apart. She didn't know, she'd never gone through anything like this, all right? She had a really good life, and all of a sudden she had this school, and they're opening a second one, and a third one. And then they get hit with this. And she's never, as I said, been hit with any aggravation in dealing with people. So I think it showed her life is a little different than maybe she thought it was. All right. But, she's going to be, they're opening a fourth school. Now, of course, it can't be 100% full, but, all right, they're going in with another group because they can't handle all these. But that Goddard, by the way, I'm not pushing Goddard as a franchise, but it's helped her in that actually it's taught her how to deal under bit. I guess I spoiled her in a way. She's our only child. And before I realized, she said, gee, I didn't think people are like that. And I said, guess what? They are. All right. It's a doggy dog world out there. So I think he gave her some practical skills. And also, they did get a fairly substantial amount of money from the government. Mm-hmm. But I have to give a credit. They followed every rule, right? And repaid, they'll repay everything. Mm-hmm. And they won't have to pay any taxes. And I give her credit. She learned a lot of, you know, the rules and the laws. Mm-hmm. And I wouldn't have the patience to even read that stuff. You know, people say, you don't have the patience. You're a CPA. Well, I didn't really like being a CPA. That's why I love being a CPA. It's a great profession. I would recommend it, though, because it changed my life. All right. Are you ever sorry you went into public accounting?
No, I'm not. I think that if anything, public accounting has like kind of opened up my options as a career. I mean, I started.
What happens if this did not happen, right?
If what did not happen,
would you still love it? If we didn't have this COVID, right? Would you say to me right now, Phil, this is still the greatest profession in the world?
Now, would I say it's the greatest profession in the world before or after COVID? I don't know. But for me, I really do love being an accountant. I love the fact that I did get my CPA and I did kind of do the track that I did. Now, would I wish that COVID wasn't here? Absolutely. My business was on a great trajectory before COVID and we had to like pivot a little bit and do something a little bit different in COVID, but it's still growing and doing what I want it to do. But I would say, I mean, I did the whole traditional route, you know, I went and did the accounting degree, got my master's in accounting, sat for the CPA exam, worked for a big four accounting firm and kind of did all of that. But one thing that I had some mentors kind of tell me along the way, I had somebody, a family friend, like when I was trying to figure out like where to go, what to do. And do I go into marketing? I love business, but like, did I go into marketing? Do I do accounting? I don't really like I don't want to be an accountant, you know, accountants are boring. but I had somebody tell me like, well, Hannah, like, I mean, it sounds cliche, but Hannah, like numbers are, accounting is the language of business. And if you understand the language, you can do anything.
I think I've heard that before. I love that one. They come out with these things. It is the language of business. Doesn't that sound great?
Yeah. I mean, it was like very inspirational too. He was a very charismatic guy. He was like, kind of the language of business.
When you said that, I almost drove myself to tears. But no, it's a good area. You have, you know, if you don't want to go into this area, now you have other areas. There's more choices of what you can go into now.
There's so many choices. I think the people that I started with, so I started at Ernst & Young and now I see that my colleagues that I started my staff 1 year with, I mean, I see small business owners. I see people who have left to like do their own accounting firms. I see people who've left to like start bubble tea shops and, you know, do their own thing completely. I've seen people go and do finance, go into valuations, go and be, you know, be controllers and CFOs of larger companies. I mean, you know, I've seen people take tons of different routes with it. And not everybody is staying in finance. Like some people are going and working in technology where they just love the technology.
I see a lot of that. I see a lot of guys, CPA, IT, mm-hmm. and they're creating programs.
Yeah.
Getting involved in artificial intelligence.
Yeah, absolutely. So, yeah. I really feel like of all professions, I feel like our trajectory could go so many different ways. So, I mean, I can't see it being a detriment to anybody unless you just don't do anything with it. If you really never do anything with it, then that's one thing. But like, you know, there you can take it anywhere you want to go.
Thank you so much for listening to Yeager CPA Review and More. As a token for our appreciation for your listenership, we'd like to offer you 10% off your next purchase with Yeager CPA Review. Save between $50 to $150 with code PODCAST10. If you'd like more information, look us up on JaegerCPAReview.com. And as always, if you've enjoyed this show, please rate and review on iTunes or your preferred listening platform. Again, thank you so much for listening, and we look forward to you tuning in next time.